Well, good morning. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day. And I received a post, from a friend of mine who lives in Delphi. And it's strikes a nerve. With all the stuff going on today, the murders of the black folks in Buffalo, New York, the murders going around in churches, the Uvalde, Texas murders, there's just a whole lot of evil going on in this world. Says she shared it from a Chad Clausen. I don't know the gentleman. The post said, "Wow, this sums up our society today. A 15-year-old school kid who got an A-plus for the entry. The Lord's Prayer is not allowed in most U.S. public schools anymore. A kid in Minnesota wrote the following new school prayer." I'd like to read it to you and see what you think of it. It says, "Now I sit me down in school, for praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God, find mention of his name very odd. If scriptures now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow, becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. There's no difference. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. Prayer spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must not meditate, or we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to cuss and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They've outlawed guns, but first the Bible. To quote the good book makes me liable. We can elect a pregnant senior queen, and the unwed daddy, our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught that such judgments do not belong. We get our condoms and birth controls, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles. But the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's Gary here, I must confess, when chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So Lord, this silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. In Jesus' name, amen." That struck a chord, especially whatever happened after Uvalde and prior, Sandy Hook, a number of other cases, Colorado comes to mind. If these kids are scared in school, why? It's supposed to be a safe haven. What are the teachers teaching exactly? They aren't teaching tolerance. They're not teaching love. They're teaching someone's agenda, but it's not God's. Look at our world around us. $5 a gallon for gas. Can't find baby food on the shelves. Our food supply is getting scarcer and scarcer, yet the prices of diesel is getting higher and higher. We're putting windmills where our crops should be growing. And wonder why we're getting an attitude. Why our kids are shooting each other. The line in this poem, it said they've outlawed guns, but first the Bible. I think that's where it all started. When they took God out of school, they opened up a can of worms they didn't see coming. Maybe they did. We murder our babies in the name of abortion. And then we see kids killing kids in the name of bullying, freedom, whatever they want to call it. Most of the time, you're not going to find out why, because the shooter's dead too. And that's a shame. They want to outlaw guns. That's fine. But the laws that are already written ain't worth the paper it's written on if they don't enforce the laws. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. If that's the case, if I poke your eye out and a pencil accidentally goes up in your brain, you die. Should pencils be outlawed? How about a steak knife? How many times have you heard of people being stabbed by a steak knife or a butcher knife in a fit of rage in a kitchen? In a quarrel at work in a meatpacking plant? Should knives be outlawed? So now we can't write, we can't cut our meat, we can't grow our crops. You'd only be pushed into a corner so far. Something's got to give. So while it's not cool to look at the Ten Commandments, I thought maybe we would look at the Ten Commandments, so let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. See if maybe we can remember what's right from wrong. So we look at the book of Exodus chapter 20. We have God speaking. Verse 1 says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." At this time, the Jewish people were slaves of the Egyptians. What are we slaves to today? Money? Sports? Work? Hear all the time people working 80, 90 hours a week, 3-4 weeks in a row without a day off. Sometimes of their own doing, sometimes of the company's doing. But when does that make time for anything else? Family, God. He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Verse 3. There again, we get up on Sunday morning, well, that's our only day off. And I'd rather go play golf or go fishing or go to the amusement park. I ain't got time for church. That's my only day off. That's the only day I get to relax. So we have no time for God. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth." So what do we see on a totem pole? Native Americans and other cultures made images of their gods. Fish, bears, eagles, whatever their area gods may be. It's funny to see how we know there's a God because of what we look around and see. The earth, the air, the waters, the mountains are all so beautiful. We know we couldn't do it. I couldn't build a sand pile, let alone a set of dunes like Indiana dunes. It's all God's making. And we know there's something higher than us that's doing this. So if we know it, why do we not embrace it? Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, does that mean that since my great-great-great-grandpappy owned slaves, I should be able to own slaves? And then God's going to visit me too? I don't think so. I think it's what this is alluding to or talking about is when parents don't teach their kids about God, don't take their kids to church. These kids grow up without a foundation. They teach their kids there is no God. They don't take their kids to church. And so on down the line. Until we find ourselves in a time like this where most of the population doesn't believe in God. They want to do things their way. Anybody that does believe in God and the word of Jesus is seen as a hater, a homophobe, a germaphobe, any kind of phobe you want to put in there. We don't like wild colored hair, transgenders, GLBT stuff. We're going to have that. They've had that forever. We don't have to agree with it. Colored hair looks pretty nice on some people. Doesn't mean they're strange or different. It just means they like their hair color. That's fine. But when they try to push their agenda onto us, the Christian believers, that's wrong. They don't want us pushing our agenda on them, but yet they want us to fall in line with them.
Randy, it's really just God works in so many powerful, strange ways, because what you're talking about right now, it's really a luscious story to tell, but I'll go ahead and tell her. She had to stand up for what she believed in at work on Friday. She walked into an office and there was a picture someone had drawn. It was an advanced auto parts flag, but it was done in all kinds of bright colors. And she goes, "What is that?" And the person spoke up and said, "We're trying to come up with a flag to represent our pride group through AAP." And she said, "That's disgusting." And she erased it. And before you knew it, she was called into the office. Long story short, she didn't get fired. But she said, God points out in the Bible that homosexuality is a sin. And she stood up for God and she said, it is a sin, plain and simple. And not one manager could refute her word. But they said, another company pays us to promote the pride stuff. And it was sickening. It made her sick. It was awful. But she stood up to them and she said, you cannot push your agenda on me or my mother, either one. And there's a lot of others here at work, too, that you will not push that on us. We are firm believers in the Bible, and God says homosexuality is a sin.
It's coming, folks.
I'm so proud of her.
Would they accept that if a Christian group paid them enough?
She asked. She said, so if I was to make a Christian group, through Advanced Auto Parts, will that float? And they said, no. She said, I can't wear anything political. I can't wear anything that has to do with religion or, the Bible or anything like that. But we can walk around with pride t-shirts and have pride flags. And they said, yeah. wrong. I said I think that's why Advance is doing so horrible, because they are not a God-fearing, God-believing company. God's not going to look down on them.
It's coming, folks. It's coming.
It's really ironic how you brought that up, and that is just, that's all that's been on my mind since Friday, since it happened at work. But I was very proud of my daughter that she stood up and she witnessed to those people. And not one of those managers could refute her word, because they all knew she was right. But she stood her ground.
That's all we can do, is stand up for God. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God. Christians are His word, His mouth, His feet, His hands. We have to do some work. Jesus said, if the world hates you, it's because it hated me first. So when there's nobody standing up for Christ, that's when Christ is going to come back and show the world. But as long as the Holy Spirit's here, as long as there's people that will stand up for Christ, we can do our jobs. It may not be pretty. We may be ostracized. We may be fired. But that's just the way it's going to be. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. This agenda of tolerance for this, that, and the other thing is going to turn around and bite them. And they just don't see it coming. Has God already sent a delusion? I don't think so. I think as long as we're breathing, we have a chance. As a thief on the cross, never got baptized, never went to church. But when he said, Jesus, forgive me, you are Lord. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So that tells me, until our dying breath, we have a chance. The thief on the other side had a chance. He just squandered his chance. We know where he's at. It's scary. What's our kids, our grandkids going to look like? What are they going to see in their world? So yeah, I don't believe that just because great-great-grandpa was a bad person, grandpa was a bad person, dad was a bad person, don't make me a bad person. Everybody has a choice. And once you figure out that you're old enough to make choices and know right from wrong, then it's on you. Not on grandma, grandpa, dad, mom. It's all yours. Verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Maybe that's what God was showing Alicia. Keeping her job. Showing her mercy that she can stand up. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You hear a lot of pro athletes, and even in the songs we hear, it don't have to be rap either. I mean, it could be country, it could be mainstream, it could be anything. Even some of our commercials aren't worth listening to. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And there are still companies that want people working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row without a day off. They ostracize you for getting sick. They berate you for taking a day off because you're dead. They don't care about grandma passing away or mom being in the hospital. To them, it's all a dollar sign. If you're not here making me money, we don't need you. But you need to rest sometime. You need to recharge your batteries. If it means coming to church, listening to the Word of God, fellowshipping with other believers that you may or may not have known were Christians, even if it's going on vacation and stopping in a strange church, you may not know anybody, but when you walk through the doors, it's full of Christians. Maybe you have a common denominator with some of them. A lot of people go on vacation and forget about church until they get home. That's all right, too. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, thy cattle, the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Saturday to the Jews is the Sabbath, from 6 o'clock Friday night till 6 o'clock Saturday night. They don't do too much of anything. To the Christians, it's Sunday, the first day of the week. I think Jesus made it that to separate Christianity from Judaism. Not in a bad sense, but to let the Gentiles know that they don't have to follow all the Jewish laws and regulations and whatever else. We can meet on Sunday morning, give a portion of those of that which we are blessed with, congregate with other believers, read the Word, praise our Lord. Excuse me. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Pardon me. Honoring the mother and father. That's getting further and far between when we see kids honor their parents. Go to any store, you got kids, well, I want this, I want that, I want. Running around like heathens. And the parents just don't care. Sometimes even the parents are running around like heathens because they just don't care. And it makes you wonder why the kids are like that. I don't know whether the parents honored their mother or father or not. That's not my job. When I was a kid, if I didn't do what mom said, dad would backhand me. If I didn't do what dad said, I'd get a belt. And it wasn't just mom and dad. It was anybody, any adult. If a lady asked me for help at the grocery store to reach an item she couldn't, I'd best be there to help. And help her I would. It's called courtesy. We don't see that very much anymore. I've had Katie in the car with me, and I let people walk through the crosswalk. It's my turn to go. But when it's 90 degrees outside and you got a little old lady standing there with a cane, let her get in out of the heat. It's common sense. It's courtesy. Be nice. I don't care what color she is. I don't care if I know her. It's just the right thing to do. And I think that's part of honoring thy mother and father. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I grew up in Buffalo. I lived about 2 miles north on a gravel road. I could do anything I wanted to in town. But I couldn't outride that telephone home. So by the time I got there, mom, grandma, and everybody else on that party line knew what I did. So you best bet I was minding my manners. because I knew what was waiting on the other end. And I'm not seeing that today. Everybody's pulling their shades, turning their head, don't want to get involved. And that's a shame. So thou shalt not kill. We know it's wrong to murder somebody. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. This isn't talking about a war situation or a police situation where they're being fired upon. Excuse me. This is talking about premeditated murder. Kid walks into school with a rifle or a pistol, starts shooting up the class. That's wrong. That's dead wrong. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery. Anytime you have sex outside of marriage, whether it's male, female, male, male, female, female, it don't make no difference. If you ain't married and you're having sex, it's wrong. The Lord says so. Thou shalt not steal. That's a no-brainer. Go and steal a bottle of hooch out of a liquor store, you might get shot. You go out and steal somebody's car and report it to the cops chase you down. You end up wrapped around a tree and dead. We know it's wrong, they do it anyhow. Just because I drive a 1974 Vega and kid next door's got a 2019 Camaro. I want that Camaro, I don't want that little Vega. So I'm gonna take it. It's my right. You don't deserve it any more than I do. I work for a living. His mom and daddy bought that for him. He just sits there and plays video games all day. Don't make it any more right. Still stealing. It's still wrong. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't be telling everything you know about your neighbor or that you think you might know. It's so funny that people don't want to get to know each other anymore. They're afraid of their neighbors. The old folks are afraid of the younger generation. All I see on TV is kids shooting up kids and drugs and sex and parties, and they don't want to get involved in that, so they don't want to meet them new kids that just moved in with three kids of their own. The young kids, they think that old couple next door don't want to pay no attention to us or don't want to be friendly to us or just crotchety old neighbors that don't care anyhow. When the fact of the matter is, who's to say their grandkids aren't halfway across the country? And seeing them kids might just give them a little boost because they can't see their own grandkids. And who's to say that that young couple that moved in with those three kids' parents aren't halfway across the country? Them kids don't know grandma and grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins. But maybe, just maybe, if they got together, those kids could know the love of a grandparent. May not be theirs, but it would help. But nobody wants to get involved. That'd be the wrong thing to do. So you tell your old buddies down the street, that new family and their kids, they're just running around screaming, probably doing drugs, who knows? Before you know it, that's the norm. Everybody thinks these kids are wild, running around, doing weird things. And it couldn't be further from the truth. We need to get to know one another. And if we just generally don't get along, we don't have to have them over for supper. But if you see their house is on fire, you go over and make sure they weren't home or help get them out. That would be the right thing to do. If you've seen one of them laying out in the middle of the yard, you go over and do a wellness check on them. Maybe they had a stroke or a heart attack. You never know. But to just leave them lay out there, not even bother to call 911 or the police to do a wellness check on them, that's not right. That's not what the Lord teaches. So thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Which means we don't have to keep up with the Joneses. We don't need everything that every neighbor in the country's got. We got roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our back. That's what the Lord guarantees, and not even that. For the poor we have with us always. We should feel blessed if we have those three things. It don't have to be a Porsche in the garage. It doesn't have to be a John Deere riding lawnmower. Doesn't have to be filet mignon. Hot dogs and hamburgers will supply your daily needs just as well. There's a lot of things we need or want. And if we ask God in His way, He'll make sure we're supplied. May not be exactly what we want, but it'll be supplied. It's just a shame that our schools aren't teaching basic common sense, faith, love. They preach love, but it's not the kind of love we're used to. Their love is accepting of everything and everyone. I read the other day where I think it was Pennsylvania University, female swimmer set a world record, but it's not a female. He's full-blown male. He's not had any surgeries. He is an intact male. I read an article about one of the swimmers on the women's swimming team. They questioned why this man was allowed to swim. They were silenced. He uses their shower room, although he is an intact male. They cannot do a thing about it. They cannot go public about what they feel. They have sent psychologists, psychiatrists, and anything else you can think of, GLBT people, to explain to him or her why he should be able to swim on her team. I don't understand that at all. That just doesn't make sense. But that's the transgender world we're coming into. We may have transgender friends. I know I've got gay lesbian friends. Part of my family is part of that. I pray for them. I speak to them. That's about all I can do. I don't cause fights, because if I bring it up too often in family matters, then we get the whole family involved and it's a big brouhaha. They know my feelings, I know their feelings, and we're all right with that. I don't know. We can't ostracize them. We may be able to change them, but maybe not. They may be Christian, just not living like it. But the guy that's a Christian sitting down at the neighborhood bar checking out all the women's is just the same. He's still wrong. He's still Christian. So we can't ostracize him either. All we can do is pray for him. Talk to him if they want to talk. Know our boundaries. Just try to get along as best we can. God's got a plan. He'll execute that plan. Someday we may get to heaven and find out that they did too. It was just a different path than ours. We can't all be right. We can't all be wrong. And everybody is a sinner, even the babies, until they get to the point where they can accept Christ. There may be that one clear moment where you accept Christ and you backslide into your sinful ways. It's amazing how God works. And it's a blessing we don't know that way. So if we knew all that he knew, see all that he sees, I think it would blow our minds. That's why we're finite humans and he is God. We are not. We just go by this book, his word, accept him at face value, and do our best to do what he says. Some of us are better at it than others. But you'll find that in anything. Sports, teaching, work ethic, cooking, anything we do, somebody's going to do it better. Somebody's going to do it worse. But it's all the same. He's God, we're not. It's our job to spread his word as best we can. We don't need to get in somebody's grill about it. Just say, hey, this is what I believe. This is what the Lord says. If they don't want to hear it, fine. But 2 or 3 weeks down the road and their kid gets killed in a car wreck and they come crying to you and say, what was that you were saying about God being good? Why'd he take my kid? Well, maybe he took that kid because he seen something coming that wasn't good. Maybe he took that kid to draw you closer to him. Maybe he took that kid because he's going to give you a whole lot more. We don't know. God knows. All we can do is comfort. May not be what they want to hear, but that may be just the thing that sparks them into believing. And we may never see it in our lifetime. But then all of a sudden we're in heaven and there they are saying thank you. We say thank you to our God every day. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for my blessings. Thank you for the roof over my head, food on my table. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to talk to you today up here. Jim trusts me with his pulpit, and I don't know why. And I've talked to a number of people out there, and none of them would stand up here. And I can understand that. Not everybody can do this. But everybody can tell somebody about Christ. Be it the kids at school, the nurses in a nursing home, the teachers in school. You gotta be careful, but you can do it. At work on the assembly line, we can tell others about God through our actions, through our words, by not telling dirty jokes, by turning away when things are going sideways. We don't have to take it like Alicia. We don't have to be offended by it because we know they're just sinners doing what sinners do. But we do need to be careful not to fall into their trap. We do need to stand our ground. We do need to remember these Ten Commandments and obey them as best we can. Sure, there's times we might get upset and say a few choice syllables. Then you say, "Forgive me, Jesus, I was wrong." There's times where we see things that we know we wouldn't do, but it's not our place to correct or to cause a commotion or a riot, as the case may be, depending on the situation. We can't burn down our cities. We can't hold felons up as martyrs. We can't go killing our babies. But we do. All in the name of freedom. Freedom of choice. My body, my decision. It's just amazing what this world can think of. And it's just amazing what's going on in this world right now. We either know Christ, trust him because he is still in power, in charge. Those that don't know Christ have no clue what's coming. That's the scary part. They have no clue. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message you have given us here today and reminding us of the Ten Commandments, Father. It's amazing to see you at work. It's even more amazing when we stand up for you and we see your hand in our lives. We ask that you would be with us and guide us and lead us throughout our lives, Lord. Just give us strength and power. In Christ's name, amen. So in closing, we'll just sing the first verse of hymn number 107, Amazing Grace. Please stand. Thank everyone for being here. You're all welcome back next Sunday. Jim should be back. If you don't know, Jim's in Ohio with his family. So that's why I'm up here talking at you. So thanks for coming and hope you all come back. Chad, would you close us in prayer, sir?
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we leave here reflecting on the message today, Lord, we realize that this sinful world has an identity crisis. And it's not about just male and female sexuality. It's about our identity in you. Lord, help us as we go out to take the focus off ourselves and place it on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And may we reflect that in all that we do each and every day. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.